Hey, this is Mallory.
And this is Bethany.
And you're listening to Killer Stargazing. Where we research a killer and look into their birth chart to see if maybe we can get a more in-depth look on what makes them tick.
We also have our killer cocktail, and today we are doing a bleeding heart martini. Mm-hmm. So the original recipe that I'm drinking is vermouth, gin, and pickled beet garnish. If you're not a gin drinker or you don't like beets, we have an alternate that Mallory enjoys, which is vermouth, vodka, and maraschino cherries.
It's so delicious.
Super yum. This recipe will be on our Instagram at Killer Stargazing, so check it out.
So if you like astrology and true crime, or you're just curious, grab a drink and let's get into it.
Yeah.
So for our very first episode, we will be talking about Jodi Arias. Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, though, I will let Bethany give a quick overview of her chart.
Okay. So she is a Cancer sun, Gemini moon, and her ascendant is in Taurus. So for just a quick overview of the signs, your sun sign is like the center of your personality, your individuality, and just what motivates and drives you in life. Your moon sign is your emotional response and needs, your kind of like unconscious reactions, your instinctive nature. And then your rising sign is your outer disposition, your demeanor, how people, you know, see you when they first meet you. Projection of yourself, if you will.
Okay, so first I want to talk about her childhood. Jodi was born July 9th, 1980 in Salinas, California. Is that pronounced right?
I believe so, yes.
And I read in one place that she was the oldest of five, and then I read in another that she had an older half-sister and three younger siblings, so the second born. But just out of curiosity, though, is there a way to tell from her chart what type of childhood she might have had?
So there's nothing real specific on, like, specifically her childhood, but it does indicate that she is a very family-oriented person and that she, you know, may have a soft spot for children, whether it be in the career she chooses, like a teacher or something like that. It does indicate that she has, you know, that kind of, like, a soft spot for kids and that she is kind of a, you know, into the whole family life thing.
Okay. So nothing really specific about her particular childhood. Well, from what I read, her parents really weren't that great. Her dad was pretty violent, and Jodi said that her parents would beat her with a belt and a wooden spoon since she was 7 years old. Mm. And she wasn't really interested in school. She dropped out her junior year, and she later got her GED. One time, though, her parents caught her growing weed and then called the cops on her. And any time that she would be in trouble or wouldn't get her way, she would threaten suicide.
Oh, my.
She would break everything. She would kick things, just stuff like that. Insane.
Wow.
She also became the type of person who anyone that she would date, she would adopt their personality. She would just be totally consumed by them. So before she met the man that she would later murder, she worked as a server in 2001, and she started dating her much older supervisor, Daryl Brewer. He was divorced, and he shared custody with his child, and then they moved in with each other. She started trying to make herself look like his ex by dyeing her hair blonde and then getting a boob job.
Ooh. So, now, is there any indication that he wanted her to do this? Or
no.
Did she just kind of take it upon herself, like saw pictures of his ex and was like, yeah, Oh, well, that must be what you like, so that's what I'm going
to
be.
Yeah, exactly. That. Wow. He never asked her to do any of that.
Huh.
Yeah. So they broke up then in 2006, but they remained friends, and we'll circle back to that one later.
Okay. It is interesting, too, because the body part that is ruled by Cancer is the breasts. So there you go.
So then in September of 2006, Jodi attended a work convention where she met Travis Alexander. It was basically, from what I gathered, like an MLM scam. It was called prepaid legal services. Mm-hmm. But he was actually really good at it. He was a salesman and a motivational speaker, and he kind of rose high above in their business. He was also a Mormon, but kind of like a Jack Mormon. Mm-hmm, he wasn't really strict.
Known a lot of those.
Yeah, he wasn't really strict with it, especially considering just days after he met Jody, they had sex.
Oh, yeah. Days, huh?
Days. Oh. So they started dating, but it was long distance because he lived in Mesa, Arizona, and she lived in California. So they would send tons of dirty emails and texts, and while they did have a relationship, it was mostly just sexual. She just seemed very into him, kind of consumed by him like she does with every relationship, and it seemed like he was really only interested in one thing. From what I gathered, they didn't really click on any other level other than sex.
For both of them, or was this just from his, or was she a little bit more into it than him?
She was definitely more into it, but
like
they
on
would,
the emotional side or whatever?
They would fight all the time. Like, okay. They could never just be, you know, it was always, everything was surrounded by their sex.
Okay. So if they weren't having sex, they were like fighting or whatever.
Pretty much, okay. Yeah. So then he had Mormon missionaries sent to her in California. He sent them to her. And then soon after that, she came to Arizona and he baptized her. He baptized her.
Now, he did this without talking to her, just kind of like Mormon missionary Graham, like coming to her door to...
That's kind of what I gathered, that it just, he sent missionaries to her. And so maybe that indicated that maybe he did want something more than sex.
But that he needed her to...
Be Mormon I guess. Him.
Okay.
So she converted to Mormonism with this dude, and they aren't even obeying one of the most strict rules of, which is premarital sex. That's just so fucking weird to me.
That is very weird.
So Travis's friends would talk about how crazy they thought she was. She was overly affectionate. She would always have to be touching him and doing a lot of, like, gross PDA. Like, she was marking her territory. Mm-hmm. His friends saw all of this, and they watched their relationship just become more and more toxic. And they warned him to get away from her. She was completely obsessed with him. So after his friends got to know her better, they noticed that she started doing, like, increasingly creepier shit. She would follow him to the bathroom.
Into the bathroom? Or just, like, wait outside the door?
Yes. Listening. So she would follow him to the bathroom and eavesdrop on him. So, like, if he was... To see if he was making a phone call or who he was talking to or... I don't know. She would go through his phone, his emails, social media. And she would forward emails between him and other women to herself. So even if it was completely platonic or work-related, if it was him and another female, she would forward those emails to herself so she could, like,
read them later, go over them and torture herself?
I guess. I don't know.
Interesting.
So then his friends obviously tried to sit him down and express their concerns. Mm-hmm. They said she's dangerous, that she was too obsessed. And one of his friends said that they thought that they would find him chopped up in her freezer. So then, while they're having this whole conversation about Jody's crazy, you need to get away from her, one of his friends said, just felt like, oh my God, she's here. And she didn't knock.
Felt her presence?
Yes. Didn't knock or anything. They just opened the door and she was just outside and had been listening to everything.
And she is like an expert creeper.
Yeah. Like. Yes. Yes. And they said that she looked evil and had rage in her eyes. So is there anything about like...
Well, okay. So what I can say that it is in literally every placement of her chart is emotional. Just so emotional. That is pretty much... I mean, and that's big Cancer energy anyways. Very, very sensitive. Very, very emotional. So she has the moon in her first house. So people with the moon in their first house are very emotional, very delicate. They're pretty much ruled by their emotions.
And her moon is in Cancer?
Yeah. No, her moon is actually in Gemini. But she is a Cancer sun. But the moon being in your first house just... is a very, very emotional thing. The moon is already is feminine. And actually, Cancer's ruling planet is the moon. So she very much like needs relationship, which I think is
pretty evident
in, you know, just seeing her patterns. It's very easy to hurt someone who has the moon in their first house. They get very easily offended, and they always have just feelings all over the place. They're moody, very, very moody, and to the point where, like, people kind of can't stand to be around them, like, almost too sensitive, often taking everything, like, too personally, reacting in just, you know, an overly emotional way.
Crazy fucking ways, like, yes. Waiting outside your house and waiting outside your bathroom.
Exactly. So, you know, it even indicates that, when the moon is in your first house, you do have to work hard to keep your mood in check.
Okay.
To really, like, not let it take over you, or else you do shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, it actually indicates that once people with this placement can get past that, that, you know, they can actually really achieve great things because they are naturally very intuitive.
Mm.
And I thought that was interesting, about how his friends, like you said, they felt her presence because, and not even just in the moon in the first house, there's another placement, I'm going to have to see where it was, that indicates that, you know, whether you want to call it very highly intuitive or even psychic, you know, can tend to be, you know, she could have tended to be, like, almost, like, I don't know, psychic, and who knows, maybe those were the vibes she was just, like, putting out by accident, and they were just like, okay, I feel creeped out now, so she must be here, feeling Jody vibes.
Run.
Yes, but yeah, so a lot of crazy feelings, and even indicates they feel other people's pain and happiness, and especially people that are close to them that they care about, they can almost feel what you know, people close to them are feeling.
Interesting.
And what I thought was funny too is that it indicates that they can even annoy people because they can, like, almost, like, copy certain styles of what they think, you
like
know.
Like, becoming whoever the person she's dating wants to be?
Yes. Yes. And, yeah, so I mean, a lot of other stuff. I thought this was kind of funny here, too, that people with moon in the first house really love surprising their partner. So I think she has a surprise coming for him, no?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now, is that just for moon in the first house, or is there anything, like, specific because she's Gemini moon?
So that was specifically moon in the first house.
Okay.
But, I mean, her Gemini moon is still moody, irritable, just almost like a nervousness, worry. So there's still a lot of emotions that need to be dealt with every placement in her chart.
Seems like a lot of toxic emotions, or emotions that can quickly become toxic if you don't keep it in check.
If you just let them, like, rule your life. I mean, because, well, Lunar Geminis can, I mean, usually are really, like, pleasant, witty, charming, you know, family-oriented, all that, even though they can still tend to be moody and irritable. You know, they're usually pretty interesting people.
Yeah, well, and I feel like she had to have a certain amount of charm to her to get all of these, you know, like, one boyfriend right after the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, so for the moon in Gemini, again, irritability that can easily turn into snappiness, moodiness, complicated moodiness, and just very difficult behavior that stems from this, like, just the inner restlessness from all these emotions that she has going on.
And then I also think that when you take someone that has maybe a placement like this,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's that whole, like, nurture versus nature thing. If she had, like, a more violent childhood,
mm-hmm.
maybe could that lead to her not being able to control these emotions?
And... Yeah, like, maybe if she had parents who were a little bit more in tune with what she needed and mm-hmm. nurtured her, you know, dealing with... Because I'm almost positive that she probably threw tantrums and was just as sensitive as a child and moody.
Well, yeah, like they said she threatened suicide and would throw shit and kick shit.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, this clearly goes to show that she wasn't really, like, nurtured very well. And therefore, the most negative aspects of her chart were really able to kind of take over and become, like, the forefront of the epitome of who she is.
Not an excuse, though. She's still garbage trash person.
Right. Absolutely. Like, I mean, I think that plenty of us can relate to being sensitive, like I know I am. But, you know, you also, you have to take responsibility for yourself and, you know, your own emotions. So, yes. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So after all of that, they still dated and they traveled together, but he kept her a secret because obviously his friends did not approve, and understandably so.
Yes. She was aware she was a secret too, or?
You know, that I'm not so sure of, but I mean, I feel like.
How would you not, right? Yeah, it's like you're never around his friends anymore.
Yeah, or it's like you only hang out, you know, on trips together.
Yes.
So finally, after 5 months of them dating, all of this happened just in 5 months. That's how quickly she became obsessed and creepy and Mormon.
It escalated
and all that.
Very quickly.
Yeah. So Travis breaks up with Jody, and he seemed to be trying to be better with his Mormon faith and trying to find a nice girl to settle down with. Like, he really wanted to get married, and he was kind of upset that, you know, he was like 30 and he wasn't married. So he was trying to, you know, find a nice girl. So Jody didn't exactly take the hint. After they broke up, she moved to Mesa. So they break up. She moves from California to Mesa, Arizona.
After the breakup.
Yes.
Okay.
So she started showing up to his house unannounced. She would let herself in through the garage, just show up. Or if the garage door was shut, she would come in through the doggy door. Just like,
oh my God.
Hey.
Skinny bitch. Jealous.
Skinny psycho bitch.
Yeah.
She would also just move his shit around randomly just to mess with him. I thought that was kind of funny. But insane.
But yeah, very, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, not blaming him at all, nobody deserves to be murdered, but he didn't show any clear boundaries. Sometimes she would show up and he would be pissed, and then other times they would just have sex.
Yeah.
So how is she supposed to know?
Like, and the fact, I mean, even just taking it to him, you know, wanting her to convert to Mormonism, I mean, that right there is a huge sign.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah. It's,
I mean,
like,
as a woman who is this unstable with her emotions, will take that as like, well, this is forever.
Yeah, this is
this
working.
This is happening, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think she even said, like, we're just going through a rough patch, and we're going to get married, insane. Hmm. So Travis started dating a new woman, and Jody would try to scare her. So she would show up at her house, knocking on doors and windows. She slashed his friend's tires, just crazy shit like that. Like, really desperate, kind of. Like, she felt like she was losing him, and just psycho and sad.
Yeah.
So then finally she moved back to California with her grandparents because she couldn't afford to live in Mesa anymore. And he continued having phone sex with her. So.
While having his new girlfriend. You know, I would love to know. I mean, it's that is so intriguing to me. There's just something about her that he could not leave alone.
Well, and I think kind of everyone's been there to where they have that one ex that just.
They always say it's the crazy ones too that are supposedly, you know.
It's always the crazy ones. But for some reason, like, his friends even said, like, Jody was his kryptonite. No matter how many times he shut it down or how crazy she was or how much shit she did, he could not say no. He could never say no to her.
Hmm.
So Travis had a business trip to Cancun, and he was going to take Jody. Then he decided to take another woman. So he was dating that new woman. That ended. I believe she said that he was just too sex-crazed, but she was also super Mormon, so he probably just was like a normal guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he decided he wanted to take this other woman. So he told Jody, you know, I just want to go alone. I'm just going to go by myself. And they would still continue to talk, and he would even be the one to hit her up. So it's not like they would, it's not like always they would break it off and she would hit him up and he just couldn't say no. Sometimes he would be the one to hit her up, and maybe he part of him liked the drama of it. I'm not sure. So she also recorded one of their phone sex sessions, which I remember when I was watching the case on TV, because we're in Arizona and I know this story was everywhere, but here it was on like every channel, every news article, it was everywhere. And I just remember in court,
they played it.
They played the tape. Look it up. It is so cringy and fake and really? Oh my god, it's just the worst.
Oh my god.
Seriously, look that up. It is honestly hilarious. So then they got into one of their many fights. And after she threatened to release the tape, so they get in a fight and she's like, I'm going to release this tape. He called her a sociopath. He told her that she was causing him nothing but harm. And he called her the lowest of the low.
Ooh.
So that, I guess, was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because it seemed like just days after that is when she started planning his murder. So Travis Alexander was murdered on June 4th, 2008. And this is, like I said, a few days before that is when she started to plan to murder him. She first staged a break-in at her grandparents' house where she was living. She stole her grandfather's 24 caliber pistol. And then I think she took like 30 bucks of like her own money and something else really small. Like it was a really fake stage. Like there was a lot of
like
other,
an obviously staged thing.
Yeah, there was a lot of shit around the house that was worth money that they didn't take. But the only thing missing is like 30 bucks and a gun or like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she staged the break-in. Then she had started seeing a new guy. Again, so quickly, boyfriend after boyfriend, and she had made plans to see him in Salt Lake City.
Who is the lucky gentleman?
I don't remember his name, but I believe he also worked for the prepaid legal services the same company.
Didn't have Tinder back then. He had to just
yeah,
he had to just screw guys at work.
If only there was Tinder.
Yeah, right.
So after that, she went back to her ex-boyfriend, Daryl, that we talked about in the beginning. They were still friends. She got 2 gas cans from him and told him that it's just because she had a really long drive and gas was cheaper in California, which I don't know. I thought gas was more expensive. I thought everything was more expensive in California.
I mean, that's how I've always understood it.
Yeah. So then she drove to Mesa to meet up with Travis. She called him, and again, because that's his kryptonite, he can't say no. He agreed. So one thing that I remember most about this case is the shower picture. So this is the picture, the last picture of Travis Alexander.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Yeah. So we'll have these up on our Instagram, but it's literally right before he was murdered. He just looks...
It's like, a very haunting, like, photo. He looks extremely concerned.
He looks concerned. It's and
almost scared.
Yeah, almost scared. Like, I don't know.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, like, did she tell him what she was going to do? Or, I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he looks freaked out enough to the point to where he saw the extent of what was coming.
Yeah. I also did want to show this picture of them on one of their trips.
Okay.
It might, it looks like, oh, cute couple or whatever. The way her hand is around his neck is so creepy to me.
I don't think I've ever seen a couple posing like that before.
I know I've never posed like that.
She's got she's got her hands, one on the back of his neck and the other kind of like on the front of his
neck.
Like
she's choking him like, this is mine.
Yeah.
It's really...
very awkward looking.
She definitely has those crazy eyes. And
for sure.
He kind of looks like, I really don't want to be taking this picture.
Yeah. Like, I hope I drown in this water bottle.
Please don't show this to anyone. So, she goes over to his house. They ended up having sex day.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking pictures of each other. So there's like some gross ones of her naked and some of him. And he at some point had gone and checked his emails and he had I believe it was like an important meeting the next day. So he checked his emails and then he goes to take a shower. And Jody followed him taking pictures. Mm-hmm. So that's the picture that we were talking about. That's the last picture of him alive where he's just staring into the camera and just, my God, it's just terrifying. Right after that picture was taken, Jody then began stabbing him 27 to 29 times. She slit his throat and then used her grandfather's gun and shot him in the temple.
Whoa.
Like, overkill.
Way overkill. You know, and I mean, stabbing already is a very personal, you know, way of...
So obviously, personal.
If you really wanted it one and done, she would have just gone for the shot to the head.
Yeah.
But that is... Yeah,
that's personal.
Very
she
personal.
Stabbed him over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Slit his throat so deep. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And so he had like stumbled out of the shower and tried to get away. Mm-hmm. And then I believe he had kind of barely made it out of the bathroom. She shot him and then he was dead. Mm-hmm. So after that, she tried to clean up a little bit. She moved the body. And then after she thought she deleted all the pictures, she threw his camera in the washing machine. And that's where I'm like, why though? You go through, I mean, I'm glad she did because this is how she got caught. But she goes through all of this, staging a break-in. She makes sure that she gets these gas cans from her ex-boyfriend so she doesn't have to stop. So her debit card or whatever isn't used. No one can trace her. That she was in Arizona. And then she cleans up and then she just leaves the camera. Like,
now, did she turn the washing machine on, like, to try and ruin the camera?
I think so. I'm not exactly sure.
That is still a very odd way.
Just take the camera.
Yeah, just take it or, like, stomp on it and then throw it away. Like, I don't, if I was going to dispose of a camera, I could just, that would be the... I don't think I would even ever come to that conclusion. Oh, let's put it in the washer. You know?
I mean, again, glad she did.
Yes. Wow. You know, also, like, there's not really, in the picture of the two of them together, you can't really tell, like, I mean, she looks like a pretty small girl, or at least very, well, obviously she fits through the doggy door.
Yeah.
Was he a pretty small guy, too? I mean, it seems like if she was able to carry his or take his body somewhere.
I mean, he didn't look very tall. I didn't look that up or anything.
Yeah, and there's really no pictures of them like standing by each other.
No, but he looked pretty stocky, and especially like dead weight. Like that's
she got that superhuman crazy strength, I guess.
I guess. but like she did everything to ensure that she wasn't placed in Arizona, but she leaves the camera. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she tried covering her tracks. Mm-hmm. She had turned her cell phone off. I guess back then they couldn't trace your phone if it was off. So she had turned her cell phone off when she's out of Arizona. She calls him and leaves him a voicemail like she's absolutely fine. Like, I'm so glad you're going on your trip. Or like she's fine. Hours after she murdered this man. Mm-hmm. And so police didn't even discover his body for 5 days. And this is where I kind of thought his roommates were pretty shitty because he had roommates.
He had roommates and they didn't discover him for five days.
Well, so like they know he missed his meeting and I think one of them was like, oh, you're in deep shit or whatever. But he was planning this trip to Cancun. So I think they just assumed he was in Cancun. But the smell.
I was going to say like how, doesn't a body start to smell pretty quickly?
I've never smelled a dead body, but I'm
either.
But it does.
But I thought like just from like crime shows I watch, I feel like it's at least within 24 hours, it's going to start smelling.
Were they just as like stinky or did they just do everything they could to ignore it? I don't know.
If it was a house full of guys, it probably smelled like shit anyways.
Probably. So all of his friends, so the police discover his body finally. He had like his own room and his own bathroom. Mm-hmm. And so when it had been 5 days, no one had heard from him and the smell, you know, they called the cops, they discovered his body.
So they did finally, the friends did finally like go into his room or whatever and see the body.
I think it was locked.
Okay.
So the police had to like break in.
Okay.
I think. That could be totally wrong. Mm. So all of his friends, when the police interviewed them, they said the only person who would do this would be his ex-girlfriend, Jody.
They were like, don't even look for anyone else.
Yeah, it's Jody. She's crazy. She killed him. She was obsessed with him. So they eventually get her. She's arrested on July 9th, 2008. So it was over a month after he died. And she just tried to lie her way through everything. She said that she was never in Mesa. And then she tried to say that Travis was emotionally and physically abusive towards her. And she said that the whole reason she claimed, like, self-defense. She said that she had dropped his camera and he became enraged. So she stabbed him.
Do you think that's why... I was going to say, do you think that's why she threw it in the washer? But that doesn't make sense either. I could see throwing it on the ground so later you could see, like, see, that's what I mean. He, like, you know, because
destroyed
the camera or whatever.
I think she just intended to get away with it. I don't think she ever thought she was going to be caught. She's thinking she's so fucking smart.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just curious as to what was going on. That bothers me a lot. I want to know what was going through her mind with that camera.
It's just insane. So, and then even if, like, say that was true, she drops his camera and he's just starts being abusive, so she stabs him 27 or 29 times, you slit his throat, and then you shoot him?
When you don't even have any wounds on yourself to even say, like, well, look what he did to me,
And everything about this is premeditated.
Uh-huh.
She staged a break-in. She had gas cans so that she didn't have to stop for gas in Arizona. I mean, everything about this was premeditated. So to just, like, throw that in at, like, the last second, like, oh, like,
right.
He hit me, so I stabbed him. Like, fuck you.
Like,
she said that, but none of his friends or his ex-girlfriend said that he was even remotely violent. Like, he was just, that's just not who he was. She also tried to say, that she had amnesia and forgot everything.
Oh, my.
So... obviously, that was a lie. Psychologists found no evidence of PTSD or amnesia, but they did diagnose her with borderline personality disorder. Gemini.
Yes.
So, is there anything about, like, mental illness?
Well, just the instability of emotions. I think it's very easy to see how one could... kind of go down the path of getting to such an unhealthy point with your emotions that it is a mental illness.
Like it even said
with the moon in her first house, that, like, if you don't get control, you know, of those emotions, you know, they will kind of take over you. And obviously that they did.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to get too much into the trial.
Okay.
But
was it a pretty quick trial?
No.
Really?
No. It drags on for years. She did appeals. There was a retrial. And after all that, Jody Arias was finally sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole on April 13th, 2015. So I didn't do much research into what she's doing now, but I just see that she's still claiming her innocence. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
So that's really all I have on Jody Arias. Is there anything else you want to talk about with her chart?
Well, I mean, there is... Well, I was kind of looking to... Because Travis was a Leo.
Okay.
So I was kind of trying to look and see even just, like, how compatible they were.
Okay.
Which it does kind of seem like what drew her to him, like, was this very strong... I mean, you're talking about fire and water,
you know?
I mean, it's... not supposed to work, but, you know, that kind of explains why it was probably, like, really, really exciting. And
toxic.
And because of, like, the almost, like, insecure feelings that a Cancer, you know, that comes with being a Cancer, that strong, dominant Leo is kind of, like, just what they need.
To
it's just what they're looking for, basically. It's their opposite. It's like, okay. I kind of get that.
Like a yin and a yang, but
yes.
If she wasn't a murderous bitch.
Exactly. But, I mean, it does indicate, like, again, I'm going back to the moon of her first house because there was just so much in here that I felt just, like, screams exactly what she is how impressionable they are. And really actually giving and caring souls and almost, like, live just to make others feel good. And I think that I really do believe she probably gave a lot of herself to him, or at least felt like she was.
Yeah. She probably felt like what she was doing is like, this is what I would want.
Yes. But yeah, the emotions, the intuition, all that, it dominates every decision, like, in their life. And the specific position of the moon means that they're pretty easily impressed and react in strong ways to everything that's happening around them. Yeah. So, I mean, there is a lot of emotional instability in this chart. I could really just go on and on about that.
What does the first house represent again?
So the first house represents, which is also where, you know, your ascendant sign is. It's just, it's the first impression you give. It's you to the world. How the world sees you, your appearance, your body, your attitude. It's just how you come across to others. So, and it is very clear that, you know, people could tell there was, you know, I don't think she tried to hide her emotions from the PDA.
I don't think she could.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it was very possible. She didn't ever, like, even try to get control of those, like, emotions. She just really let them take forefront in her life.
So when you said that, though, it reminded me that I did read that there was one time where they were all hanging out with their friend, or they were all hanging out with his friends. And he was just trying to have, like, a normal conversation. I think they were, like, in a hot tub. And they were just trying to have a normal conversation. And she just kept trying to, like, sit in his lap and, like, make out with him. Like, that gross PDA. And he's, like, just trying to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Really, like...
Well, I think that she... Clearly, that was her, that's her love language.
Physical touch. Is
just...
Possessiveness?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of, you know, indications of, like, being very possessive in relationships, too. Which I was going to go, I'm going to have to see which placement that was in.
Yeah.
But, like, it even says, like, moon and first house people can even, like, come across as just unrealistic. Like, are you even real? Like, especially to people who maybe don't have as open of a mind or an imagination or anything. It's just kind of like they're seen as very eccentric.
I mean,
but it says their memory is incredible. So expect them to know where you've been at a specific date, with whom, and why. Just, they're going to know.
Yes.
and definitely... they can act very defensive and cling, very clingy to those who even give the slightest impression of you know, being interested. Very fast.
Well, it's like that picture of them together. She's got her, like, hand around his neck.
Yeah,
her hand around his neck.
So I didn't touch a whole lot on her sun sign, you know, of Cancer. You know, again, though, a lot of the same stuff it is in. Is in all the placements, which a lot of times, what I find interesting in charts is how contradictory they can be sometimes. And, but for her, I feel like, you know, everything is revolving around, I mean, loyalty is actually really big. And that's actually, you know, the most positive trait of a Cancer is how loyal they are.
Yeah, to a fault.
Yes. Yes, when you add this, like, loyalty and attach almost, like, a psychotic aspect to, you know, an instability.
Obsessiveness. Possessiveness.
Then suddenly that loyalty, it's like stalker.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's player. Exactly how she was.
But, you know, because Cancer suns are really protective, they are very feeling-based, and that is how they react to things. And
everything about this is just emotion.
Yes. Yes.
She feels slighted. She feels like she's losing him.
But also a very soft and quiet nature, almost.
I mean, who knows how she was maybe in other relationships. Like that ex, Daryl, they ended up staying friends.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I don't know how she came across first impression-wise. If she, you know, came across as the quiet, sweet girl that was all of a sudden this... wild thing in bed, and then
I mean, she was a young girl, and he was like her older supervisor, so
yeah. So it does say, that she would be prone to a lot of negative self destructive behavior here, yes, and almost like when things are going well, you suffer from like this is just too good. Like, something's going to happen. You know, it's never this peaceful, like, oh, everything is great. It's like,
you're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
This is way too good. Something's going to happen.
Self-sabotage.
Yeah. Fear of losing control. Actually, it says, fear of losing control that might stem from some traumatic event in childhood. And childhood might have even been crisis-ridden or emotionally charged in general. So I guess it did. I must have missed that a little bit earlier.
Well, we got back to it now.
Yeah. So because of that, she could have tended to be, you know, intensely fearful, you know, internally. And that can express itself through a lot of crazy ways that we've seen.
Yeah.
But it did say, too, and I think it was it her Venus? Or, that's the moon again.
That Venus, that's the planet of love, right?
Yeah, so.
That rules you, like, your relationships.
Yes. So, and it does say that, you know, lots of activity, enjoying a full sex life.
Their entire relationship was yes. sex-based.
Says even, like, her Venus is in Gemini, too, by the way. Venus and Gemini people kind of try to, you know, win over someone with, well, they're very playful. Some might, you know, even say, like, tease. Mm. And, well, it says hard to pin down that they resist relationships, which I'm not sure that maybe that was 100% accurate for her, but who knows? Maybe she played that role of, like, maybe she, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe she kind of, like, tried to play the, yeah, I don't know. I wish we kind of had more details about that, since it seems like that was what kept them together.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish we had that audio. So, yeah, in relationships, it says it can be really hard to know what to expect from one day to the next with them. Sometimes from 1 hour to the next.
For real.
So, yes. Possibly even hedonistic and overly attached to winning admiration from a partner. I'm into the portion of a lot of, like, relationship type stuff now. And, like, as far as, like, one of the things I thought was interesting is it indicates that she would eventually, like, she doesn't know how to express her emotions. Obviously, we know that. It can almost be frightened of it, mm-hmm. which can lead to, you know, disappointments, breakups, lack of satisfaction. She will learn to be happy in love and be at ease with herself and be able to control her jealousy eventually. It indicates here that she would have had a very...
like, fulfilling?
But she would have had a very fulfilling second part of her life. A person was supposed to come around, a mature person, who would have sort of helped ground her and kind of help her, yeah, gain control of her emotions. It really does indicate that she would have had a very happy second part of her life.
Too bad she fucked that up.
Love unstable, like, you know, everything. And it is very sad because... I mean, this is probably one of the most emotional birth charts I've ever looked at. And with the wrong upbringing, you know, it doesn't... Not that I'm blaming, you know, obviously we still have a certain degree of responsibility we still have to take for ourselves.
Oh, yeah, she's a piece of shit, no doubt, but...
She is, and she let her emotions get the best of her. You know, tons of people have shitty childhoods and they're still okay. You know, when they reach adulthood, they deal with it.
Yeah, and he was a great guy and did not deserve mm-hmm. this at all.
Nope, didn't deserve it. And, you know, it is sad what happened. It's sad for obviously more sad for him. You know, kind of sad that I feel sad for her looking at this chart. I thought I was an emotional wreck, but I'm like, geez, you know,
you're emotional... Just be glad you don't have Jodi Arias' chart.
Yes, just it could always be worse. Just remember that. Wow.
So is that about all we got on her?
You know, I think we covered all the juicies, at least all the good stuff.
No, it was pretty fun.
It was.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Do you think that we got a more in-depth look on Jodi? Check out our Instagram at KillerStargazing. Email us with questions or if you have anything to add or who you'd like us to do next at KillerStargazing@gmail.com.